you know what I've got.
Got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Davidson County, our ground is second to none. You might not know I'm here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
From Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 95.7 St. Croix Country. WSCM Baldwin. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Singers singing about how they can love deeper than the oceans, higher than the stars above. Well, I come from the country and I know I ain't seen it all, but I heard that ocean salty and the stars they sometimes fall, and that would not do justice to the way I feel for you. So I had to sing a song about all the things I knew. My love is deeper than the holler, stronger than the river, higher than the pine trees growing tall upon the hill. My love is purer than the snowflakes that fall in late December, and honest as a robin on a springtime windowsill, and longer than the song of a whippoorwill. From the back roads to the Broadway shows with a million miles between, there's at least a million love songs that people love to sing. And everyone is different, and everyone's the same, and this is just another way of saying the same thing. My love is deeper than the holler, stronger than the river, higher than the pine trees growing tall upon the hill. My love is purer than the snowflakes that fall in late December, and honest as a robin on a springtime windowsill, and longer than the song of a whippoorwill. My love is deeper than the holler, stronger than the river, higher than the pine trees growing tall upon the hill. My love is purer than the snowflakes that fall in late December, and honest as a robin on a springtime windowsill, and longer than the song of a whippoorwill. A whippoorwill.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
With stories about terrorism in the news, it's natural to wonder how you might respond to an attack close to home. We'll hear from a domestic counterterrorism expert.
Well, what you have is three options. You can run, hide, or fight. If there's no reason for you to stay where you are, then the best thing to do is evacuate. Get out.
Then, an inspirational story of redemption from a former prison inmate who turned his life around and now mentors young people.
I got a letter from my son. It stripped away all the street toughness and made me step back and ask the tough question of how I went from being a scholarship honor roll student who wanted to be a doctor to serving out my most promising years in solitary confinement.
Those two stories and much more are coming your way on this week's InfoTrack. The show begins right after this.
Progressive presents good news, bad news, dumb news, then great news. Good news. Your coworker Kyle said bundling home and auto insurance with Progressive could save you money. Bad news. While saying this, Kyle was eating your clearly labeled lunch. Dumb news. Pizza near work costs $7 a slice, and it tastes like drywall covered in ketchup. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and enjoy more lunches far away from Kyle. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit StraightTalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Let's play
Bet Your Life.
It's the game show where you gamble not only your life, but those of your passengers and fellow drivers when you get behind the wheel after drinking.
If only it was just a game. It only takes one bad decision to change your life forever. Getting behind the wheel after you've been drinking is one of them. Don't play games that nobody can win. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Lowe's knows how to help you save time and money, no matter the job. That's why we can deliver supplies to your job site as soon as same day, so you have more time to get the job done. Because when you need it fast, we've got you covered. Lowe's knows pros. Valid on eligible in-stock orders and select zip codes placed by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. More terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
The news these days is often filled with headlines about terrorism. An attack can happen anytime and anywhere. What can each of us do to stay safe and protect our loved ones? Well, our next guest has some answers. He's Robert Sholley, a retired Army colonel, best-selling author, and a member of the United Nations International Peacekeeping Forces that won a Nobel Peace Prize. He's also a recognized expert on counterterrorism and international security assessments. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, sir.
So when we're out and about with our family, even at a shopping mall or a movie theater, are there things we can do to minimize our risk?
Yes, there are. And first off, I would like to say that the American public has gone back to sleep after 9/11 and San Bernardino and that sort of thing. You know, people take everything for granted, that it's all going to be the same, and it's never going to be the same again. So there are things that you can do, and the important thing is to change the mindset of the individual. If you're in a mall, you know where the exits are in case something happens, a shooter event or a terrorist attack or something like that. Where are the entrances and the exits? And most people will know the exit that they came in, and if they're in a mall that they frequent very often, they will think that they know the mall. But I'll bet that most of them have no idea where all the exits are. And if you think about it, the stores that are on the exterior of the mall itself all have to have fire exits, and that's the way they get merchandise delivered as well. So if something happens in one area, head for those stores that are on the outside of the mall and exit through their back doors. If you're on the interior of the mall, many of those stores will have back alleys or back corridors that the employees use, and those corridors are not something that the general public ever knows about. They're used primarily for the employees. In many cases, nowadays, when you have new construction with new stores coming on, the designers have built a physical security room into those. I was at a mall the other day, and I happened to ask, it happened to be Microsoft. I said, what happens if a shooter shows up outside your store here and starts shooting things? And he said, well, we practice this. We pick up our employees and our customers, and we go into our safe room that we have in the back of the store. And he says, and then we wait for an all clear, somebody to come tell us it's okay to come back out. So new stores that are being built in the malls will often have a safe room for customers and employees.
What is your opinion? We often hear when there is an active shooter situation, authorities will say shelter in place. Is that a good idea, or should people not shelter in place?
Well, what you have is three options. You can run, hide, or fight. And if you hear gunshots or disturbance down at one end of the mall, and there's no reason for you to stay where you are, then the best thing to do is evacuate. Get out. Leave the area. Now, if you happen to be too close to do that, and you can actually see where things are happening, and you can't get out very quickly, then the best solution is to hunker down, hide in place. And here again, that's some of those stores will have safe rooms that you can use, or some will have offices that can be locked, and you can hide into those. Now, a lot of people don't understand cover and concealment. If you're concealed, that just means that somebody can't see you, but it doesn't stop any flying debris like bullets and that sort of thing. If you find cover, on the other hand, that means you're both concealed and behind something that will protect you. A rack of clothes is not going to protect you, so you need to find something a little better than that.
We're talking on InfoTrack with Robert Chalet, a retired Army colonel with experience in counterterrorism. What is your take on the situation in the United States at this point? Is it inevitable that there will be more terrorist attacks, and will they be worse?
I think so. That's my opinion. We have great law enforcement agencies and intelligence agencies, and they stop so many attacks and plots and plans that we will never know about. But they can only do so much. And there are some that are bound to leak through. And yes, I firmly believe that there will be other attacks that we will not be able to stop. And if it's another bombing, or even if it's a shooting, you know, it doesn't have to be a foreign terrorist, the jihadist. You know, we have these domestic terrorists, you know, mindless violence who shoot up schools and churches and those sort of things, primarily not necessarily from a terrorist because they want to show fear, but because they want to take revenge or get back at somebody. You know, the office businesses that we have are from disgruntled employees and people who feel that the company has done something to them or is not giving them their right. So, yep, I'm a firm believer that it's going to happen. And the faster that an individual gets the mindset of being aware of his surroundings and on the lookout for things that are strange around him, no matter where he is, the better off and more protected the American public will be.
How prepared should the average homeowner be, the average listener to our show, in terms of having a food supply, a water supply, those sorts of things that we're sometimes urged to have?
Well, I'm not a firm believer in being a dyed-in-the-wool prepper, but if you live in an area of natural disasters, and by the way, I count terrorist-type activities in that same category as natural disasters, so you need to be prepared for that. You need to have some water set aside, dried foods or canned foods. We had a big hurricane here 3 or 4 years ago. We were out of electricity for 3 or 4 days, and that causes a hardship. The grocery stores are not working. The gas stations aren't working. So, yep, you need to take a look at what you've got.
In terms of our nation's infrastructure, dams, tunnels, bridges, is this something that the average person should think about and perhaps keep an eye out for anything strange that's happening in those areas?
I've done a great deal of general assessments, security assessments, and vulnerability assessments of infrastructure in the United States, and dams and power places and ports and airports and that sort of thing. And the average person probably doesn't need to worry about that, except from the standpoint of if you see something that looks suspicious, like somebody's taking a picture of a bridge or somebody's taking a picture of federal buildings or things like that, and they appear to be just a little bit more than the normal tourist, then they probably should be reported and the person should be aware that this is not normal. And if it is somebody who's innocent, then, you know, everything's still going to be okay. But if it's not something that's innocent, they've done the country a service.
As we wrap this up, do you have any final words of advice for our listeners in terms of staying safe and also helping our nation stay safe?
Well, as I pointed out at the beginning of our discussion, get the mindset and look and check to make sure that you understand what's going on around you. If you see somebody who's dressed in clothing that's inappropriate for the weather, take a look at them. If you find somebody in a crowded place and he's mumbling to himself and he doesn't have an earbud for a telephone in his ear, he may be saying his prayers prior to pushing a button. If you see somebody wearing one glove, oftentimes suicide bombers will use one glove to hold their trigger in place. If somebody is sweating abnormally in cool weather or in air conditioning, check them out. Maybe report them to the authorities. It's always better to report something than it is to not do that. The people in San Bernardino didn't report what they knew and what they saw in their neighbor's house, and it turned out to be a disaster. So I would suggest that people be aware and get the mindset that they need to know what their surroundings are like and what's normal and abnormal. And in that way, they can help law enforcement do their jobs as well.
Robert Sholley, a retired Army colonel with tremendous experience in the military, in counterterrorism, and international security. How can our listeners find out more about you and your work?
Go to roberthsholley.com, and I've got some blogs that will provide some additional information.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Next, convicted of crime, sent to prison. Then he turned his life around. The inspiring story, coming up.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Dude, it's time to head to Grandma's for the holiday feast.
I mean, didn't you just smoke a bowl?
Yeah, but it's cool, man. Grandma won't notice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Someone noticed, and it wasn't Grandma. If you think that others can't tell that you've been smoking marijuana and driving high, think again. Always remember, if you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI.
Lowe's knows how to help you save time and money, no matter the job. That's why we can deliver supplies to your job site as soon as same day, so you have more time to get the job done. Because when you need it fast, we've got you covered. Lowe's knows pros. Valid on eligible in-stock orders and select zip codes placed by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. More terms apply. See lowes.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Our next guest was sent to the slammer for second-degree murder. Then he turned his life around and now mentors young people to help them stay on the straight and narrow. With this story, here's InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. We're talking with Shaka Sengor. He's the author of a book called Righting My Wrongs, Life, Death, and Redemption in an American Prison. Shaka has received fellowships at the MIT Media Lab and the Kellogg Foundation and invitations to speak at the TED Conference and the Aspen Ideas Festival. Shaka, welcome to InfoTrack.
All right, thank you so much for having me.
Let's get into your story, because it's certainly a provocative title of your book. You were raised in a middle-class neighborhood in Detroit in the 1980s, and just pick it up from there.
Yeah, so I grew up in a neighborhood that looked, you know, was the model for black middle-class America. My father was in the military and worked for the state, and my mother was a homemaker, and unfortunately, their relationship began to deteriorate, and my mother was very abusive physically, emotionally, and I decided to run away at the age of 14. And basically got seduced into the crack cocaine trade.
And I'm assuming that was a pretty violent kind of environment to be in.
It was a very, very volatile environment. You know, in the first 6 months, I experienced every imaginable horror that comes with the culture, from childhood friend being murdered to both of my brothers being shot. And eventually I was shot multiple times 3 years later.
So you were in that environment for a number of years. And then what happened? You ended up in prison.
Yeah, so 16 months after I got shot, I got into a similar conflict, and I decided to shoot first and tragically caused the man's death and was subsequently sentenced to 17 to 40 years in prison.
So tell us about that. I mean, that obviously had to be an awfully difficult situation to be in, and obviously not a great future.
Yeah, I mean, at 19, you can't even see 2 weeks down the line, let alone 2 decades down the line. And so when I went in, I was bitter. I was angry. I didn't want to be responsible. And I found myself getting in more and more trouble, ultimately leading me to several stints in solitary confinement, the longest being 4.5 years straight, before a total of 7 years.
What happened? What did you do that caused you to be placed in solitary for 4.5 years?
I got into an altercation with a staff member and punched them several times. And they sent me to solitary confinement and added 2 more years to my prison sentence.
What was the worst thing about prison?
I would say the worst thing was watching the mental deterioration and breakdown of men who were either suffering from mental illness or on the verge of suffering from mental illness. Being away from my family, not being able to raise my children, watching my family suffer, knowing that I had devastated another family and caused them to suffer. So it's extremely emotionally burdensome experience, given that two families were devastated.
Obviously, sometime during that 19 years, you underwent some major changes. Tell us about that.
Yeah. While I was in solitary confinement the last time, I got a letter from my son, and he told me that his mother had told him why I was in prison. And when I got that letter, it was mind-blowing to hear from a child their perspective of things. So it basically stripped away all the street toughness, the prison toughness, and made me step back and ask the tough question of how I went from being a scholarship honor roll student who wanted to be a doctor to serving out my most promising years in solitary confinement. And so at that point, I began journaling and writing and realized that I hadn't accomplished anything of substance in my life. And so I challenged myself to write a book, which I did, and that began my path as a writer and transformation.
And today you are working as a mentor for other young people, right?
Yes, that's one of the things I'm most passionate about. I have regular work stuff that I do, but mentoring young people who are growing up in similar circumstances is my passion. You know, I never want another child to grow up with the burden of having taken somebody's life and to have their freedom stripped away from them. So I try to do whatever I can to ensure that they don't make the same decisions that I made.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Shaka Sengor. He's the author of Righting My Wrongs, Life, Death, and Redemption in an American Prison. And we're discussing his experiences in prison and the lessons he learned that can be applied to our nation's criminal justice system. Shaka, when you come out of prison and you've been there for 19 years, how do you pick up the pieces? Where do you start?
I mean, I started just realizing that I just had to take it day by day, getting out. One of the things about our society is it's very unforgiving of those who have run afoul of the law. And I realized that getting out that I was going to have to just take it day by day, improve myself and put in the hard work and, you know, learn all this fancy technology. And I mean, I came out to a very different world than the one I left. So it's just really a moment by moment type thing. And getting out has been really challenging. It's one of the reasons that I decided to write Righting My Wrongs. I really wanted people to understand what second chances look like, what they could look like, and how we create a platform to ensure that men and women are returning home healthy and whole.
You know, there are a lot of experts who point to the breakdown of the family, fathers who are absent, to account for the high incarceration rate for young black men. That obviously wasn't the case with you. You had a dad who was a loving dad, a good relationship. So how do you see that issue of the whole family breakdown?
I mean, I think that's one of the cop-outs that politicians use to justify their ineptitude when it comes to resolving the problems in the criminal justice system. I think there's a lot of things that contribute. That's one of them. But from a more holistic level, I think that there's over-policing in primarily urban communities. I think that there's inequity in sentencing. The recidivism rate is ridiculous, the things that people go back to prison for. The reality is that people are being warehoused as opposed to rehabilitated speaks volumes about what we've failed to do within the system. So I think it's a whole host of things.
If you were allowed to make changes in the nation's criminal justice and prison system, what would you do that you think would really make a difference?
One of the things I would do is ensure that any person that goes to prison is set up to succeed once they get out by ensuring that they have all the necessary, you know, vocational training, higher education, social services, psychological treatment. I would also reduce usage of solitary confinement and reduce the sentences of juveniles to life inside adult prisons. I think there are other countries who have models that work. I had an opportunity to go to Germany and study their prison system, and they start from the very beginning of a person's arrest working to re-socialize them back to society. And I think it's an area where we failed miserably.
If there's one basic message for young people in your book, what would it be?
I think the basic message is actually for all people is that human beings are redeemable by nature. If we exercise human compassion and empathy, we'll live in a lot better, brighter society. But we first have to be able to meet each other in the most common space, which is our humanity.
And if there was something that you think would have made a difference in your young life before you got on the road that you did, what would that be?
Having a mentor who can actually listen to me holistically to see the signs of what was happening in my life. You know, I went from an honor roll student to barely showing up in school, and those are signs that something is dramatically wrong. And I think if we pay attention to signs like that, we'll be able to solve some problems before they escalate to somebody being incarcerated.
It's a compelling story. Shaka Sengor, the author of Righting My Wrongs, Life, Death, and Redemption in an American Prison. Shaka, do you have a website?
Yes, you can go to beyondprisons.org, and you can find everything related to my work there.
Well, thank you again for joining us on InfoTrack.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Let's play
Bet Your Life.
It's the game show where you gamble not only your life, but those of your passengers and fellow drivers when you get behind the wheel after drinking.
If only it was just a game. It only takes one bad decision to change your life forever. Getting behind the wheel after you've been drinking is one of them. Don't play games that nobody can win. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Parents of teenage kids naturally want them to stay safe and out of trouble. A research study shows a correlation between teen driving restrictions and a reduced teen crime and arrest statistics. Joining us to explain is Dr. Monica Deza, Assistant Professor of Economics in the School of Economic, Political, and Policy Sciences. Doctor, you were a co-author of this study. Let's start with teen driving restrictions. We're talking about curfews, and most states have these, correct?
Yes, all 50 states and the District of Columbia have this as of today.
And what ages do these curfews generally apply to teenagers?
Well, the time that teenagers can start obtaining a driver's license is usually 16 in most states. There's very few exceptions for 15, but most of them is 16. So the restrictions apply between 16 and 18.
And what did your study set out to find? What were you looking to see?
we wanted to see whether keeping teens off the streets would actually reduce their probability to engage in juvenile crime. The most common crimes are aggravated assault and larceny. So we thought that if teenagers cannot be in the streets, they will probably stay off trouble. And that's actually what we found.
When you did this study, what kind of numbers did you look at in terms of the research you did?
This is data at the state level. So we have arrest counts and arrest rates at the state and year level. And we found that there is a decrease in the probability of getting arrested among teenagers between the ages of 16 and 18 relative to young adults.
Now, I understand there was some factor with gasoline prices in your study. What was that?
A lot of policymakers are concerned about changes in gasoline prices. Teenagers are very sensitive to price changes. So you see that teenagers are more likely to stay off the streets when gasoline prices are high. However, the problem with taxing gasoline or with having high gasoline prices is that also affects working adults. So we're saying that the largest effect we found them in periods where gasoline prices are low. And the reason why we think that makes sense is because that's the period where teenagers will have been more likely to be driving and be in the streets in the absence of graduated driver licensing.
I know you touched on this, but what types of crimes are we talking about specifically that were reduced?
The largest effects were aggravated assault and larceny. So aggravated assault is usually just teenagers picking up fights, and it's a fight that went wrong. Larceny is the second most popular crime among teenagers. An example of larceny is shoplifting.
But there was also, I guess, very serious crimes such as murder might be in there too, right?
Yes, we also saw an effect on manslaughter. But a lot of times manslaughter is aggravated assault where that has gone wrong.
What advice would you have for parents with this type of information? Is keeping a pretty good rein on where your children are at that age, is that going to be helpful to them in life?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of risky behaviors happen during teen years. There's a lot of research that points out that, for example, for substance use and risky behaviors in general, people who haven't engaged in those by age 25, they're most likely never going to engage in those. So that is a crucial period for teenagers to get their values and their habits formed.
We're talking about just the age of the driver in this research, right? It's not the passengers in the car. So you could have younger passengers in a car with an older driver, correct?
Yes. If the driver is an adult over 18, they can have teenage passengers with no problem. But now the restriction, there's some restrictions on passengers if you are a minor driver. So if you're a 16, 17-year-old driver, you cannot have another 16, 17-year-old driver with you with this law.
Were you surprised by the results of your study, or was this what you expected to find?
Well, we were surprised by the gasoline prices part, and we were surprised by the type of crimes that we found an effect on. But from the beginning, this is what we thought that would occur in the data.
Do you plan any other studies along these lines to maybe look into ethnic breakdowns or geographical breakdowns?
Well, actually, I have another paper right now on the effect of these laws on teenage fertility. And I found that this type of nighttime curfews and restrictions in the number of minor passengers that you can have with you reduce teen fertility by 2%. Teen fertility can be affected by either teen pregnancies or abortion rates. And we see no effect on abortion rates, and yet a 2% decrease in teen fertility. So it seems that these laws are affecting risky behaviors among teenagers in many ways.
Dr. Monica Deza, Assistant Professor of Economics in the School of Economic, Political, and Policy Sciences, co-author of the study. Thank you so much for joining us today on InfoTrack.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's it for this edition of InfoTrack. InfoTrack is a production of Syndication Networks of Chicago. Internet services provided by Pear.com. I'm Chris Whitty, inviting you to catch us next time on another edition of InfoTrack.
Tell your smart speaker to play St. Croix Country.
Everything I passed put you back in it. You were done, moving on, but you can't be too far gone. 'Cause what happens in a small town stays in a small town. Every main road we've ever gone down. Friday night bleachers, Sunday pews, ain't a county line mile without a memory of you. Every whisper, every room I won't get. Every time the bartender fills it up again, everybody knows why I'm here and you ain't around. 'Cause what happens in a small town stays in a small town. Oh, you said this goodbye was the last. I guess I could leave, I could run from the past and from us and from you. But this is where I belong.
Sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door, where blues won't haunt you anymore, where the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Those men.
yeah, they say. I live too fast to settle down. Truth is, I just ain't about these games they all play. Wanna find something stronger than the whiskey. Oh, I've tried, but every time I feel a kiss me, I keep coming up empty. Someone that I'd be proud to take on back to my hometown. Honest eyes that just ain't gonna lead to lonely nights, even when she's up against me. I don't know why it feels like there's nobody with me and I'm still empty.
Things I'd dearly love. And every night I get on my knees and thank the Lord above that I don't have to think about tomorrow. I don't need anything money can buy. I don't have to beg, steal, or borrow. I just want to live until I die. I don't have to beg, steal, or borrow. I just want to live until I die.
Get the latest news right now for all of Northwest Wisconsin. Subscribe to our daily newsletter at stcroix.country.
Raymond's in his Sunday best. He's usually up to his chest in oil and grease. There's the Martins walking in with that mean little freckle-faced kid who broke a window last week. Sweet Miss Betty likes to sing off-key in the pew behind me. That's what I love about Sunday. I sing along as the choir sways every verse of Amazing Grace. And then we shake the preacher's hand, go home into your blue jeans, have some chicken and some baked beans, pick a backyard football team, not do much of anything. That's what I love about Sunday. I stroll to the end of the drive, pick up the Sunday Times, grab a coffee cup. Looks like Sally and Ron finally tied the knot. Well, it's about time. It's 35 cents off a ground round. Baby, cut that coupon out. That's what I love about Sunday. Catnapping on the porch swing, you curled up next to me. The smell of jasmine wakes us up. Take a walk down a back road, tackle box and a cane pole, carve our names in that white oak. I steal a kiss as the sun fades. That's what I love about Sunday. Oh yeah. New believers getting baptized, mama's hands raised up high, having a hallelujah good time, a smile on everybody's face. That's what I love about Sunday.
Your smart speaker to play St. Croix Country.
Did you grow up on a tractor? Did your daddy let you drive? Are you whiskey bent and hellbound, even though your mama tried? Did you cruise down a back road with your Dixieland light? Are you on the Chattahoochee on a barefoot blue jean night? Everybody got a small town anthem. Everybody got a story to tell. Everybody got a hallelujah. Everybody been through a little hell. When you're rolling down the two-lane highway and you turn your radio on, tell me which one hits you, baby. Do your exes live in Texas? Are you so lonesome you could cry? Are you heartbroken cause you know that ain't your truck in her drive? Are your friends all in low places underneath the neon moon? Were you already country back when country wasn't cool? Everybody got a small town anthem. Everybody got a story to tell.
Baby, yeah, what's your country
station. What makes you turn it up, make you raise your cup every time you listen. I can feel the magic floating in the air. Being with you gets me that way. I watch the sunlight dance across your face, and I've never been this swept away. All my thoughts just seem to settle on the breeze when I'm lying wrapped up in your arms. The whole world just fades away, and the only thing I hear is the beating of your heart. And I can feel you breathe, it's washing over me. I can feel you breathe. Just breathe. In a way I know my heart is waking up as all come tumbling down, closer than I've ever felt before. And I know, and you know, there's no need for words right now.